The bard in the ancient traditions of the British Isles was a storyteller, a maker of songs and poems, and a performer, the voice of his country's history, culture, and guiding spirit. It's a tradition that's been kept alive in Ireland down through the years, embodied in modern times by its great poet, William Butler Yeats. Patrick Ball is a contemporary performer on the Celtic harp who weaves stories, poems, and songs into his performances. He's coming to UH this weekend with a program called Come Dance With Me in Ireland, Encounters with W.B. Yeats. We talked yesterday about the bardic tradition.
Well, I think that the bard was probably more important than people give him credit for, because most people nowadays, bards are simply people that tell stories, mm-hmm. And in the earlier times wandered around. But the bard and the poet and the storyteller, that sort of thing, were very, very highly honored people.
Yeah.
Back in the earliest times, in what they called the bardic order, they had the poet was just below the kings or the chieftains, and they their entire job was simply to compose poetry and celebrate genealogies and things. But the poets didn't even bother to recite anything. That was handed over to the bard, and the bard recited all the pieces of poetry and historical eulogies and all these sort of things. Mm-hmm. So they were essentially the keepers of the culture, and it was an enormously important part, particularly because the Irish, actually, even till now, really, find that the best way of passing on anything was from person to person. And just to hearken back to the music that I play, almost all the old music of Ireland is gone and lost forever, the old harp music, because mm-hmm. when the last master of the wire-strung harp, which is what I play, died, all the old music died with him. Or her. And so the bard kept that sort of stuff alive for many, 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 many centuries until things broke down.
The poet that you celebrate in this program is very much in the tradition of the bard. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeats, I mean.
Yeats. Well, Yeats was very, very deeply steeped in the earliest times in Ireland. And he was always trying to find his way into what he considered the mystical realm of Ireland. I mean, a lot of people think he was a bit of a nutcase because he pursued the occult and he attended seances all his life.
Yeah.
But, you know, no matter how you feel about that sort of thing, the reason that he did it was that he wanted to find his way into the mystical realms, the world of fairy in Ireland. And to him, it wasn't just some sort of kooky thing. He believed that Ireland had a real spirit and a soul, and he wanted to find his way into it so that he could not only experience it, but to write about it as well. And it's all throughout his poetry. So, and he believed that the bard had particular powers to find their way into that mystical realm. So what I got more wrapped up in was that, you know, when he was a younger man, he used to wander around the countryside with a lady by the name of Lady Gregory, and they would chat with the peasantry, all the country people. And back in those times, storytelling was still practiced and a force, and people believed in the fairies and the other world. And he used to wander around through the countryside, and he would gather all these ancient stories about the other world, and or perhaps the Oversoul. And so he was deeply steeped in that sort of thing. And so the poetry, there's so much of his poetry. There's far more than any one person could probably come to grips with. But yeah. The part that I tended to focus on was his poetry, which dealt with, you know, as he called them, the good people or the fairy people.
Mm-hmm. And you are performing on the Celtic harp as you read his poetry, or how does that integrate into the show?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing you should ask, and I don't want to go into this too long, but when we applied for this fellowship, this other guy and myself, our proposal was we wanted to study the relationship between Yeats and the Celtic Renaissance and, as they call it, the clarshuck, the wire-strung Celtic harp, which was what I play. Mm-hmm. And we ended up finding out that there was essentially no relationship there, because Yeats to the best of everybody's knowledge, seemed to be entirely tone deaf.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he didn't know, he didn't really understand anything about music, and but he was deeply involved in the theater. He, among others, established the National Theater of Ireland, the Abbey Theater, and occasionally he would want music in the plays. And the one thing that he hated more than anything was for anybody to put his poetry to music. As lyrics. It just drove him insane. He hated it. And people do it all the time now, and they've done beautiful work, but I don't know if they're aware that Yeats would probably tie them on an anthill for doing it. But anyway, he had no sense of music or anything, and so he would be giving these instructions to the musicians, and the musicians would think he was a total nutcase because he didn't know what he was talking about. But he had an almost supernatural sense of rhythm and the sound of words, because he believed, and it's not always apparent in his poetry, but he believed that the sound of the words not only revealed the deepest part of his poetry, but he believed that the sound of the words was actually a doorway into the mystical realm of Ireland.
I'm so surprised to hear that, because I think he's among the most musical of poets.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. You
know, I will arise now and go to Innisfree.
It's just beautiful.
You don't have to know what it means.
Be loud glades. Yeah, he was just an extraordinary character. And all the peasantry around Coole Park, where he lived sometimes with Lady Gregory, said that they used to watch him. He'd be walking along the country lanes of Ireland, and they said specifically that he sounded like a hive of bees, because he'd be walking along intoning his poetry, because he wanted to get the sound exactly the way he wanted it. So I don't think it's necessary to be aware of the fact that he did this, but I think it's almost inevitable that anybody that hears his poetry spoken is captivated by the sound of it, even though they're not aware of it. It's the sound of it that gives it its power and beauty.
Well, I'm reminded, and we should make a reference to the sound of the Celtic harp, because that's very much a part of your upcoming performance. Let's hear just a little sample of that, if we could. A fantastically deep range to that instrument, from bass to treble, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. It's 4.5 octaves, but it's really one of the most unique instruments I've ever heard. It was played in Ireland 1,000 years ago, and it was their beloved instrument. It was very, very important to the culture, and it died out completely 200 years ago. They switched to playing harps with gut strings. And that's when almost all the old music died away. But it's the most extraordinary thing. It's strung with brass wire, all monofilament brass wire. And the low notes are, the strings themselves must be close to 3.5 feet long. And so when you pluck on these things, not only is it a very deep sound, but it rings. It would probably be, if I plucked on it right in the studio now, it would probably be ringing by next Wednesday. And part of the technique of playing it in the old style was not just to pluck the strings, but they resonate for so long that you'd have a separate finger pattern which would come along and dampen a string that you wanted to mute, because as the melody went on, the chord that you chose wouldn't be appropriate.
At some point, you have to stop them.
Yes, you do.
Patrick Ball will perform Come Dance With Me in Ireland, Encounters with W.B. Yeats, in the University of Hawaii at Manoa's Orvis Auditorium on Saturday evening. You can get details on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.